players have gone through this battle of a regular season. So they've won 60 games. They've gotten the number one seed twice with Derrick Rose. They've done this. What are they playing for right now in November and December?
It's the future!
Down and Distance on WGNRadio.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Down and Distance. Jared Payton alongside my man Sean Davis. This is Down and Distance on WGNRadio.com. Sean, a lot to get into this week. I think we got to start off with Chicago Bulls. I mean, you look at this record, and if you don't watch basketball, you look at somebody's record, you might say, man, this team, they're not so bad starting out. But if you're watching games, for most Bulls fans, it becomes painful. I saw that on Twitter yesterday after I posted a question just to what frustrates you so far, and people just lit up my timeline with a bunch of different reactions. So I need to get your take on what is going on with this Bulls team at the moment. I'm going to give you just my opinion. It's not studious, but there is a glaring factor that I see about this basketball team.
Speak on it.
Oh, you want me to come out
first? Speak on it.
I don't know if I'm blinded by what's going on in Golden State. I mean, it's unbelievable to see what Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, those boys are doing. It's ridiculous. But I watch them play, and I know everybody talks about small ball, and it's a little bit different. And you saw it last year in the finals with how, you know, just Cleveland had to figure out ways to, when they were going small, to go small or go big. It was trying to figure it out. But they got a bunch of athletes, man, that can make plays, and two guys that are playing out of their mind right now. But I watch this Bulls team, and other than Jimmy Butler, I don't see any – there's no athletes on this squad. So for everybody who was excited about Fred Hoiberg coming into this year and bringing in this new offense, right now this team is not built to do what I probably envision to do. Yeah. And maybe for the long haul, I get it, because over time, if you get that – much time. Well, he's Garin Paxson's guy, so yeah, he's probably going to be around for a little bit. It's not what I expected. And shouts out to my man Derrick Rose. Love Derrick Rose. I know people have beef with him, but Derrick is a different player than he was. I feel like if this system that they're trying to run, if you go back to MVP Derrick, oh man, I mean, this would have been perfect. But
still wouldn't make a difference long term.
No,
it still championship wise, it wouldn't make a difference.
So I feel that even if this team is, someone made a comparison to if you have a boss who is always really hard on you, strict on you, and let's just flip it. It's like having parents, you know, with both of my parents, like with my pops, you weren't going out. You had to be home at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Everybody else was staying out to 11:30, 12. No, you better bring your behind home and be home at 9:30, whatever. Yeah. Dad would go out of town. Mom would be home. Stay out to 11:30. It's cool. You're good. Don't worry about it. Stay out 11:30. I trust you. And I would feel more relaxed when, you know, because I'd be like, man, I can go out and actually have a good time. And yeah, I don't have to feel the pressure. I feel like I'm watching that with this basketball team. Tom Thibodeau gone. He commanded respect, regardless if you liked him or not.
Accountability.
Yeah. And with Fred Hoiberg, I feel like it's kind of like, you know, yeah. Jack up a shot.
He's new.
But
he has the feel of a substitute teacher.
Exactly. That's it.
He's the new head coach, but he feels like a substitute teacher. Right? And the substitute teacher comes in with the mindset of they're trying to get a handle on things.
But substitute teachers know in their mind, though, Sean, they're not going to be around. They're only there for maybe a day, 2 days at the most before the other teacher comes
back.
Or
even better, they know they don't have control.
True. So they come into a situation hoping that there is some type of structure already built there. So when they get there, it's like, I'm only going to be here for a couple hours, but I did. But they don't really have control of everything that's
so
going on.
So many things that are coming out now. One thing I want to point out, you brought up Derrick Rose. Old MVP Derrick Rose with this team still wouldn't equal a championship. That's number one.
Yes.
So Derrick Rose is not the problem. We'll never see that guy again because of injury.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Number two, Gar Pax is who we really should put under the microscope in this situation. Okay? Because going back to 2012 with MVP Derrick Rose, that team still wasn't good enough.
No. Not good enough.
And don't tell me that the Miami Heat weren't vulnerable, because the same year you had the MVP, an older Dirk Nowitzki and an older Jason Kidd beat them. Beat them.
So they were.
So Derrick Rose, when he was at Simeon, I tell people all the time, the Derrick Rose you saw in 2012 was, and I'm not, it was so far away from who Derrick Rose has always been as a basketball player. What I mean by that, in high school, he was so much better. He could walk on the court and drop 25.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he just went dogmatic and just went off in games. No, there were games where Tim Flowers led them in scoring. There were times where other players led them in scoring. Very structured, team-oriented basketball over at Simeon under Robert Smith, even going back to Bob Hambrick. That's the way they play.
Mm-hmm.
He was still a superstar. Go to Cal at Memphis. He was only there for 1 year. Cal had one guy in the post. That was Dorsey. Everybody else was a stretch four type, non-traditional big man, and they ran a get-to-the-bucket, drive-and-kick offense where Derrick had room to operate. You look at the end of games, whether it's Derrick or it's Jimmy, and you have, because of defensive purposes, you have Powell in the game with a Taj Gibson, like against Phoenix. There's no room. There's no room for Powell to operate, because when he's posting up, Taj is on the opposite box trying to get ready for offensive rebounding, which means the help is right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the offense is stagnant. The problem is they've never properly built around Derrick Rose. You don't build around Derrick Rose as if he's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. He's 6'2", 6'3". Look at basketball, people. History shows you. When you have a little guy, you don't build around him with him carrying the load. You don't win championships like that. So now I look at Gar Pax and I ask them, what were you thinking? Because Derrick Rose never played like that. He wasn't the leading scorer at Memphis. Douglas Roberts was.
So you're asking him to
come
into
a situation. So my point, Derrick is a take over when you need him to take over guy. He's that guy. But he plays and defers. He's always played and deferred to teammates. He's always known he was the best player on the team, but he never wanted to play like that. Now, you go to Coach Cal, the championship game. He had to go to Derrick at halftime. He's talked about this several times. I had to go to him and ask him, do you want to win this game? Derrick says yes. He said, well, you need to take over. Memphis was winning at halftime, P, with him deferring to other people. So that's the type of person he is. So because of Tibbs and because of Gar Pax, they came to him and said, we need you to do this. And he did it.
Okay.
So the problem is not Derrick Rose.
Yes,
the players they have are solid professionals.
Yes, I believe that.
Powell is a solid professional. Taj is a solid professional. Jimmy is a 1B, 2 option.
Oh, but hold up. Explain to me
Miritich this. Miritich has time to grow. He's struggling right now.
What about Doug this McDermott?
Doug McDermott has improved.
He's improved.
He struggles defensively. He, to me, is a younger Mike Dunleavy. They play the same. They both move well without the ball. They know how to play. They're coaches' sons. They're both coaches' sons.
What about Tony Snell?
Very disappointed in Tony Snell. That's your athleticism. That's a guy, long, athletic, but he plays so timid.
Why? I don't.
He plays so timid.
But I don't get
that. And I don't
that,
know.
Though.
Wait, I don't know. He was in the doghouse so much with Tibbs. I don't know if he's still kind of feeling that effect, even though he has a new coach. Is he still thinking about if I make a mistake?
But it doesn't seem like
going to come out.
But it doesn't seem like everybody else is feeling
that way.
This guy
is shooting over 40% from 3-point range. It's not like he can't get things done on the court. He can spot up shoot. We've seen him get to the bucket. Defensively, he's okay. He's not physical enough on the defensive end because he can still be bullied on the way to the bucket.
He needs to man up.
He definitely needs to man up. But the problem with the Bulls right now, as I said in one of our previous podcasts going into the season, this is nothing. This is not a shock to me. What are they playing for?
Right now, nothing.
It's a new coach.
But the players have gone
through this battle of a regular season. So they've won 60 games. They've gotten the number one seed twice with Derrick Rose. They've done this. What are they playing for right now in November and December? Nothing. That's why you don't see the intensity. That's why you don't see the focus, the attention to detail.
It's scary, Sean.
And they might – scary. They might feel like, yo, when we get to February and March, we know what to do. If they had won titles, no one in this city would have a problem
I think that's the thing.
If they had won a title.
Yeah.
But they haven't won a title.
So there's still a lot of question marks. And what gets me about this team, I don't know if this is just something that's going on in Chicago with Chicago teams right now, but all these teams are figuring out the Bulls, and you saw it with the Bears as well. They play up and down to their competition of who they're playing on a night-to-night basis, which I think gets people scratching their head just a little bit of who is this team and what's their identity. I think if you had the adding of Fred Hoiberg and those question marks are adding to those question marks. So I totally believe you're right that if they had won championships, that people wouldn't be – they'd be like, all right, they're going to
– But the winning principle – not just in basketball, all sports. And you could probably, you know, give me more from a football perspective. People look at the Golden State Warriors. Let's take them, for example. We know they're great offensively, right? Look at the Splash Brothers. Yeah. But we saw that coming. Even when they were losing to the likes of San Antonio in previous years, we saw that team coming offensively. What we didn't see is the defense, all right? So they're top-notch defense, but are they really that good defensively? Is Stephen Curry really that good defensively?
I don't think so. Clay Thompson is okay.
Andre Iguodala
is. But there's a but in here.
Right.
Here's
the but. People have to realize when you can use what's great about you to impact what's average, that's when you become a championship team.
That's what I was gonna say.
Very rare that you find a championship team that's great at both things.
But even in football,
all three phases.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
Very rare. So Golden State is so efficient offensively. They don't turn the ball over. They shoot well. They don't give you an opportunity to get easy buckets. So when you get down, because they're going to get you down, they totally take you out of your offensive game.
Mm-hmm.
That improves their defense.
So it's just like football.
It's just like football.
What happens is if you get a lead up on somebody and you got that lead,
absolutely,
it changes up everything that you had planned or what you had scripted, because if you're a running team and you don't pass the ball a lot, now you're going to be forced to pass the ball, and that's out of your character, and more than likely you're going to make mistakes or miss throws, or you're going to get picks and pick sixes taken the other way. So they do a great job, but Sean, I just don't – I look at guys and you go back, you watch a team for a while, and you look at guys and how they've changed, and that's just it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But I'm watching guys, and I'm watching this team, and I'm like, do these guys really like to play with one another? Is it there?
No, they're not having fun.
I don't see them having fun.
They're not having fun. When you have Powell coming out talking about his touches, not liking the offense.
And Jimmy said
some things early in the season concerning effort and defense.
Yeah, he's been very vocal. It's a weird situation.
It's a very weird situation. The locker room is not the same. And Joe, who has been known as your leader.
Where is he?
Joe is just pretty much taking a step back, because Joe is looking at the organization. He's looking at the direction. And I think everybody knows where this is going. I told everybody before, they have put their chips all in, whether you like it or not.
On?
Their chips are all in on Nico
and Jimmy Butler.
And it's not playing out that well right
now.
No,
it's not.
Because they should have known Jimmy Butler is not a Kobe, LeBron. He's not that guy. He's not about to come out and put up 27 to 30 points every night.
Not every night.
Without fail.
But you can do it. You've seen him, the progression of Jimmy Butler as a player. But I agree with you. He's not that type of guy. And they're relying on him to be that guy. When you start looking at the box scores, I mean, even over the last couple of nights, I mean, Powell, 20 points, you know, I'm watching. But defensively at the end of the games, him and Mirotić on the court at the same time, I'm like, For real?
Yeah. So when you when you start looking for land to build your new house on,
yeah,
don't hire Garpax.
Why not?
It's going to fall apart. The foundation, everything is going to fall apart because they're not good at building anything. And this team is pretty obvious. And right now, I guarantee you, they believe if they held a press conference today, they would tell everybody in Chicago, we don't see any reason to make changes.
Let's see how this thing plays out, bro. I mean, right now, you're sitting at third in the Eastern Conference.
I still believe they win 50.
Yeah.
Because the East is terrible.
The East is pretty bad.
The East is terrible.
But you want to see how this team kind of, how they pull together offensively. I mean, just looking at them, I thought offense efficiency around in the like 21st or something like that. And I'm like, for everybody who thought it was going to be a lot different, things.
And the tricky thing is they've given up 72 points in fourth quarters in the previous two losses. Charlotte and Phoenix.
That's what I'm saying.
But they're top five in defensive categories, points per game, efficiency, ratings. That's when stats can be very misleading.
That's why with this team, it's hard to really see the stats.
So if you're an offensive coach, you have to find a way to make your offense so efficient that the defensive deficiencies don't come up in the fourth quarter when it's crunch time. That's what we talked about. If you're that guy, your offense has to be so efficient.
It's not.
That the deficiencies on the defensive side don't come into play.
All right, let's see. We'll see how this thing plays out, man. Y'all hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Peyton7, PaytonSun.
SD. Two mics.
You know how we do. Two mics, two dads, down a distance, WGNradio.com. You know what downs it is, man. We always convert. Check us out. Yeah.